This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1843. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, first and foremost shortwave. On this edition recorded September 14th, Alaska, Australia, Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Bhutan, Bulgaria, Eritrea, Hong Kong, Iceland, Kurdistan, Malaysia, Mali, Marshall Islands, Mexico, Nigeria, Papua New Guinea, Puntland, Sikkim, Solomon Islands, Turkey, USA Unidentified, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Recently, we reported that the Ionospheric Research Station, HARP, in Gakona, Alaska, under new ownership of the University of Alaska Fairbanks, would be resuming operations. What's the frequency? Now we have an article by Rick Lindquist, ARRL, via CIDX Messenger. It says the FCC granted two Part 5 experimental service licenses for HARP, ionospheric research, across multiple bands. WI2XFX will cover experiments in discrete parts of the HF spectrum, including 2650 to 2850, 3155 to 3400, 4438 to 4650, 4750 to 4995, 5005 to 5450, 5730 to 5950, and 7300 to 8100 kHz. Note that many of those ranges cover broadcast bands, tropical or otherwise, but they certainly won't be making ordinary broadcasts. A second experimental license, WI2XDV, covers ionospheric research between 1 and 40 megahertz. Last week we spent a lot of time about the sudden disappearance of the three Northern Territory Shower Service shortwave frequencies from Australia. 2325, 2485, and 4835 kilohertz. Well, the other two also have daytime frequencies, 4910 and 5025. But 4835 had been operating 24 hours since they found it would be too much trouble to make a switch on that one to 2310 at night. The unconfirmed report that they had been closed down permanently turned out to be false. Just as we were recording last week's show, some reports were coming in that they would be resuming on Tuesday, but it wasn't clear which Tuesday. Harald Kuhl in Germany got a more definite reply from ABC Reception Advice, saying they would resume at 9 a.m. local time next Tuesday, meaning September 13th. That would convert, in Northern Territory time, to 2330 UT Monday, September 12th. And in fact, they were already on the air a little bit before then, as reported by Rob Wagner in Victoria. He told the ARDXC list that nothing was heard at 2145, but the three outlets were on by 2325, so they may have started about 2300. Once nighttime descended upon the outback, many more reports came in of their being heard again, including from yours truly. September 13th at 1207, I was hearing 2325. 2485 and 4835 in parallel at first, although not necessarily all three always running the same programming. 4835 was still audible as late as 1328 here in mid-America. Now, the ABC will be deciding whether enough Northern Territorians missed them during the deliberate outage to justify continuing them in the long term. We've also had a discussion about the private 120-meter band station on 2368.5 Radio Simbon, or whatever they may call it next. Will it ever be coming back? Ian of Shortwave Sites in Australia, it will be returning sooner rather than later. Half the building that supported the shortwave antenna was gone when I traveled past the site somewhere around Sydney. It's not precisely clear what exact location the shortwave antenna will reappear at. But keep an ear on 2368.5. Our new contributor, Brian Powell, near Sydney, has a lot of information about the class of station Radio Simban is, part of a narrowcasting service, not only on the 120 meter band, but on VHF. You can read all about that in the new DX Listening Digest when published, number 16-37, via worldofradio.com. If you hear a broadband FM distorted modulation blob around 9676.9, that could be ICTIMAI radio or Voice of Justice, thought to be somewhere in Azerbaijan, as reported by Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria. He was hearing it again September 10th between 08:15 and 14:15. Also, he reports Radio Bahrain's English segment on September 13th was between 1500 and 1530, preceded and followed by Arabic on 9745 carrier plus upper sideband. But for him, there was heavy interference from Japan 5 kilohertz up. Ron Howard in California observed BBS Bhutan 6035, signing off at 1222 September 9th. Or rather, it just suddenly went off the air, not a formal sign-off. However, on September 14th, it was running much later. He was hearing it from 1217, still going when he tuned out at 1330, with vernacular and brief breaks for indigenous music. Also, perhaps some news at 1318 and some easy listening singing. He says very unusual for them to be on this late. On the same occasion, Joe's Jacob in Hyderabad, India, also noted BBS extending at least until 1420 UT. That might be helpful against the co-channel interference from China. I'm not sure exactly when that station is going off. Ivo Ivanov near Sofia, Bulgaria, keeps a close ear on the transmitter site nearby. He calls Secret Broad, otherwise known as Kostin Broad, where he used to work. He says they have a 60-year-old Soviet transmitter adding up to 100 kilowatts. It's actually 250 kilowatt units in parallel, which puts out a second harmonic. Lately, he's been observing it as follows. On 24150 as well as 12075. At 17 to 18, they carry Bible Voice broadcasting in Persian. At 1801 to 1831, it's ETC, meaning End Times Coming, Ex-Catholics for Christ in English. And then at 19 to 21 UT, still on the same two frequencies, it's Brother Hysterical. However, for that, it's beamed back toward Eastern North America. Furthermore, the same transmitter is used for an earlier broadcast of Brother Hysterical, 1300 to 1655, on 11810 and two times that, 23620. On the WRTH Facebook group, Mauno Ritola says, as Hiroyuki Komatsubara reports, Eritrea is back on 7175. And it's jammed for certain language segments by Ethiopia. Of course, that is now in the so-called exclusive 40-meter ham band. Mike Bearclough in England adds, noted on the Twente receiver, September 14th at 17:55, with a phone-in and Horn of Africa music, S9 plus 20, but no jamming heard. However, Wolfgang Büschel says, a 4 kilohertz wide digital white noise interference by the Ethiopian Secret Service was jamming it, but the signal was not strong via a remote receiver in Brisbane, Australia. The Eritrean programming, including music and speech, was well ahead of the jamming noise, measured on exactly 7174.987 at S8. About Hong Kong, Rob in Glasgow, Scotland says, September 12th, I just heard on RTHK's Radio 3 news wrap program, presumably webcast, that the final commercial private broadcaster still on DAB in Hong Kong, Metro Radio, is to give up its digital license. This means that only the public broadcaster, Radio TV Hong Kong, will remain on the territory's digital platform. So the question is, will the HK government continue to pay for only RTHK to be on digital? It must be costing them a fortune, so I expect that soon we will see the end of DAB in Hong Kong, as I believe has also happened recently in Singapore. It's a shame, as, for example, the English network Radio 3 has poor reception on its medium wave frequency, as has the 24-hour relay of the BBC World Service, which is also still on digital as RTHK Radio 6. More about our report last week that Iceland had reactivated a medium wave frequency, 666 kilohertz heard on the island, with music tests. My sources tell me that the ongoing maintenance of the long-wave antennas and the fact that Toyota is no longer including long-wave in the receivers in its new autos, it's the dominant car maker in the market, that is causing the government to consider replacing the two long-wave signals with a larger number of relatively low-powered medium-wave stations. So that explains the 1 kilowatt low-power test program which was reported. And we also have a report about this from CIDX Messenger, my Nigel Pimlet from Alberta, who says he was on vacation in July visiting Iceland and other places. He says, I noted a disturbing trend in car radios on the rentals we had, as they were pretty much DX-proof, automatically tuning only to frequencies where there was a decent signal. I noted a mystery on the medium wave dial in Iceland, as all my sources said it had no medium wave stations. However, the radio in the rental car picked up an oldie station on 666 kilohertz. Certainly it was local as it was broad daylight, but we never heard any kind of announcement. With the long hours of daylight, the only other medium wave signals I heard there were a few feeble ones from the UK on 1089, 1215, and 1341. So in that case, you'd better pick up Iceland while you still can on long wave. The two frequencies are 189 and 207 kilohertz. The lower one is listed with three times the power of the higher one. Ivo Ivanov says there have been some transmitter changes for Dengue Kurdistania, as relayed from outside the country, notably Bulgaria, at 13 to 17 UT, 11600 is from Secret Broad, he says, but it's a transmitter not putting out a harmonic on 23,200. And another program of Dengue Kurdistania has been moved to France or Pridnestrovia between 1930 and 21 UT on 11600, replacing Secret Broad. That may explain why I was getting better reception than usual from it just before sign-off at 2100 recently. However, that's not necessarily when they're going off. In the Ontario DX Association, John Cooper in Pennsylvania reports Radioya Dengue Kurdistania presumed on 11600 September 6 as late as 2245. He says the song sounded like traditional Kurdish-style music I have heard before, and also some singing and chanting, perhaps prayers. The station is not scheduled to be on at this time. Using remote receivers, Wolfgang Büschel has been tracing Madagasy Radio Madagascar, which varies on 5010.550, more or less. He said it hops 10 to 20 hertz up and down between 0.538 and 0.568. He was not hearing it on remotes in India or Qatar at 1800 UT September 14th, but could hear it via Brisbane, Australia at an S8 level. After a brief spurt of activity by ASIC FM Malaysia on 6050, Ron Howard says it's silent again, not being heard on September 9th, 10th, 11th, or 12th. Only Tibet on 6050. Torsten Hallmann in Germany notes that the Mali relay of China Radio International for the 16 UT broadcast has been appearing 1 kHz off, 15124 when it comes on at 1558 UT, as on September 10th. And, by the way, 5 minutes before, there's an NID, perhaps Southeast Asian station, on 15120 until 1553. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, 1843. Also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com, with an ever-growing archive of valuable information. Our thanks this week for financial support from Lorenzo Fidel in Luxembourg, who said a contribution via PayPal and U.S. funds, although not necessarily, to WORADIO at yahoo.com and has also joined our DX Listing Digest group. One may also contribute by check or money order in U.S. funds on the U.S. bank to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. I spent the weekend of September 9th to 11th at The Gathering, a joint convention of IRCA, NRC, WTFDA, and Decalcomania in Kansas City, Missouri. I really enjoyed attending my first DX convention in many years, renewing old acquaintances, matching faces to names I knew but never had met. Thanks to Ernie Wesolowski and his crew for organizing it all, and to Carl Mann for inviting me in particular. Several blind people attended from as far away as Miami and Los Angeles, surely a greater proportion than in the general population. They and we were pleased that several sighted people were always there to assist them when needed. There were tech talks Saturday morning, especially interesting, mostly about medium wave and FM antennas, and the FCC's Grand Island, Nebraska monitoring station, which may still be in use, although remote controlled. But then, where are the antennas? For us, a very special antenna was erected just outside the hotel called a DCAS, designed by Neil Kazaros, who was also there and told us all about it. Of particular interest for me was a monitoring session just before sunrise on September 11th around 12 UT on this antenna, aimed westward to minimize interference from the east. And on medium wave, I was able to detect trans-Pacific carriers on 765, 774, 828, 837, 882, 1035, 1098, and 1548 kilohertz. 1098 was of particular interest, likely V7AB in the Marshall Islands, with its new 25 kilowatt transmitter, as I mentioned on last week's program. Unfortunately, by that time, although the carrier is still on, they have stopped programming, as Brian Clark says, around 11:30. U.S. government official and DXer Bill Whitaker was also there, and he says Marshall seems to leave the carrier on all night, I'll bet for navigation purposes. Unless they've done something drastic, they always have weak modulation, so it's hard to know when they actually take audio off, but it's well before 1200. Well, I say since they do have a new transmitter, let's hope the modulation has been improved. He says 1098 was the first Trans-Pacific or Down Under carrier Nick Hall Patch found that Sunday morning in Kansas City. Also, the previous evening, that antenna allowed me to detect the off-frequency Mexican on 710 in Chihuahua, despite the presence of local KCMO. And on 720, I was getting probably Ciudad Juarez instead of WGN at 0140. David Sharp in New South Wales reports FRC in Kaduna, Nigeria, 6089.87 variable, September 1st at 1759 with a clear ID as Radio Nigeria, and probably into news, but it was an overmodulated and warbly transmitter drifting as low as 6089.85 or so, and it was not heard the next day, so it is irregular. Ron Howard in California reports on 3260 NBC Madang, Papua New Guinea, September 8th at 11:30, slightly better reception than Bougainville on 3325. There was a DJ in Pidgin with dedications for Pop Pacific Island songs. At 12:01, started the PNG bird call, but cut off before the NBC News and Brief even had a chance to start. Normally, they close down shortly after the news, so Ron says, today I was unable to learn the latest of what's going on in PNG, nor to hear the weather forecast. Happy birthday to Bulgarian DXer Ruben Pankov, who just turned 70. Report from him I'll file under Puntland and Non, about 13800, an interesting frequency to monitor. He says on Saturday, September 10th, listening to HCJB in Russian at 1530 to 1600, there was some noise like DRM jamming, which is usually caused by Ethiopia. The jamming went on, and after the Chechen program on HCJB at 1600 to 1630, I think perhaps someone was jamming Radio Puntland, Somalia. By the way, Ethiopia started jamming VOA in Amharic recently, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. Even the VOA Saturday rock show the musical program I listened to for many months without any white or black noise. Before Australia came back on 4835, September 13th, Ron Howard was making the most of it to try to hear All India Radio Gangtok Sikkim. Here's what he reports, September 8th at 1337 to 1414. Almost identical reception to the day before. The audio was slightly above threshold level. Announcers and definite subcontinental music and singing, but unable to confirm if it was in Hindi. The best time to listen just before my local sunrise, he says, but it was only an unstable open carrier. Then on September 9th, 1333 to 1352, with announcers and subcontinental music and singing. The programming was very discernible, the audio above threshold level. On September 12th, checking 1319 to 1400, the last day of Australia being off, but it was not particularly good for Sikkim reception. It started out with just an open carrier, by 1340 faint audio of the announcer, but it was very poor. Ron Howard has also kept monitoring SIBC Solomon Islands on 5020. It seems they have continued extended their programming past the previous sign-off time around 1200 UT. Here are the times he noted them going off, September 8th until 1229. September 9th, still going past 1236. September 13th until 1222. September 14th until 1215. Sometimes it's regular SIBC programming, and sometimes it's a relay of their One Talk FM. Yet another foul up by the Voice of Turkey, which has a lot of trouble broadcasting on the proper frequencies. September 13th at 0112 during the Spanish hour, they were missing from 9870 and 9770, and they weren't even on 9830, the sometimes mistaken frequency employed. Kaya was coming in well, so it could not be due to propagation. I kept band scanning and eventually ran across Spanish at 0130 on 5960, and that turned out to be Voice of Turkey on a totally wrong band and frequency. However, it went off before the close of the program, and I rechecked the 31-meter channels at 0152, and they had come back on. 5960 is a Voice of Turkey frequency, but normally used for English to North America in the winter season only, from 2300. Wolfgang Büschel says they're also using it currently between 16 and 21 for their Turkish broadcast. Here's a significant programming change on WBCQ 7490. September 6th at 0523, I noted a carrier on the frequency long after their usual closing at 0400. And then September 13th at 0625, there was programming on 7490. A guy certain that the New World Order was imminent, allowing the Soviet Union to send troops into the USA to put down insurrections. Interviewed on the phone. Kennedy assassination to be the topic the next day. It must be old stuff. 3-minute commercial breaks were introduced but edited out. Finally, they mentioned the guest's name, Bill Cooper, who was long deceased but one of Alan Weiner's old buddies. Yes, the WBCQ schedule now shows 7 days a week at 04 to 07 UT, the Hour of the Time, which was Cooper's old program, and or The Road to Paradise. Apparently Cooper has been resurrected by this Church of Paradise. The next night around 06 UT, I was not hearing Cooper, but a seemingly live chat and music, a couple of guys also still mentioning Bill Cooper, who occupies part of that program block. On the way to and from the DX gathering in Kansas City along the Kansas Turnpike, I had some interesting listening on the car radio at the top and bottom of the medium wave dial. The morning of September 9th, I heard the Kansas Turnpike Authority Highway Advisory Radio Station on 530. It's unlisted at mwlist.org, but it's obviously somewhere around Wichita or even south of there. I can barely pick it up in Enid. At this time, there were flood warnings continuously concerning the Winfield, Kansas area after some very heavy rains, and I could see large lakes of water alongside the turnpike, but it was not inundated, unlike U.S. 77. 2 days later, on the way back, September 11th, along the same route, there was more normal weather radio being relayed, from NWS Wichita, but still including some flood warnings as the rivers were still above flood stage, such as one of them at 29 feet, flood stage being only 18 feet. I had missed these on the way up, but on the way back, southwest of Emporia on 1680 kilohertz, I was hearing two travelers' information stations interfering with each other. The stronger one was an historical lecture about the history of Chase County, about its railroad history, a one-time cattle shipping location, and about the Tallgrass Prairie National Scenic Byway. Never heard a call letter ID, but it said they have three stations, all on 1680. From north to south, they're at Council Grove, Cottonwood Falls, and Cassoday. They're along State Highway 177. Apparently I was too far to hear the Council Grove one, but I was hearing the other two. They made a subaudible heterodyne with each other of 1.83 hertz, and since they were programmed completely separately, causing interference with each other. I kept driving on and eventually had the understation as the overstation around mile 100. The one in Cassoday at the southern end of the route. They were talking about walking tours along the Flint Hills Scenic Byway. Not the same voices heard on the other one, but this one did include an ID every few minutes, which said, "You're listening to the Flint Hills Scenic Byway Radio Broadcasting System at 1680 AM on your radio dial. The call sign is WQC W625, putting the pause in the wrong place. I stopped at a turnpike service area near Cassoday and listened to it some more. One of the spiels repeated said, "Here it is, spring of 2007, wildflowers in bloom." So this thing has not been updated in almost a decade, but I'm not complaining. It's new to me, and kudos for keeping the transmitters running all this time. Sounds like an interesting side trip, but I had allowed no time for that, coming or going, so maybe next time. There were no signs notifying us of these 1680 transmitters anywhere along the I-35 Kansas Turnpike. By the way, I've never heard any trace of them back in Enid, at least 133 miles away. I wonder if anyone has ever reported them as DX or as travel catches. I searched on the call sign and found them in the mwlist.org, each with a different call sign and the power as 10 watts. The other one I heard was WQCU-481 in Cottonwood Falls, Kansas. And the one I did not hear was WQCU-480 in Council Grove, Kansas, near the Girl Scout building. A mystery monitored several evenings back at home base in Enid. Some very weak, spurious carriers just above 1480 and below 1500 kilohertz. They match at 1480.83 and 1499.17, so I conclude they are spurs coming out of one of the hundreds of 1490 kilohertz stations, and the bearing seems to be from east-southeast or west-northwest. Can anyone tell us where they're coming from? The propagation outlook from Boulder, ANKNC is peaking at 15 and 4, September 20th and 26th. Major storm levels peaking at 42 and 6, September 30th. Solar flux dropping from 80 September 15th to 70 on the 18th to 20th, and back up to 80 on September 27th. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 1843.